The following media was brought to you by Tome of Huzzah!
Hello everybody, back to episode 43 of Globally Local FM, brought to you by Tome of Huzzah! By the way, can I just say, we have had feedback on apparently how I say Tome of Huzzah. Apparently at some point I switched it. I did not know.
Did you?
As in, I never noticed. I mean, I say it differently every time, I feel like, because it's huzzah, huzzah, huzzah! But I don't know.
So what, like, did you sound like originally? Do you know?
A listener to our podcast tried to describe it to me, and I did not understand what I changed. Because they said that the, how do I say this? The chutzpah of it is now on a different side. It used to be huzzah, okay, and now it's huzzah or something like that. But I think
definitely in the intro jingle, that would be like the original now. That would be like Tome of Huzzah, I feel like.
Can I just say, doing it the exact opposite way around? Our editor sat me down and told me to not, to decrease my dynamic of voice. And the first thing I do after that talk in the first episode is just screaming to the mic.
Tome of Huzzah!
Sorry,
huzzah.
Sid. You can just clip me out, brother.
I clipped this bitch out of the fucking universe. You're welcome.
You know, I'm peeking in as well right now, Rudy, so you're not alone.
I realized something recently. Why sometimes I feel like you get good stuff and I don't, and the other way around with news. And feel like I need to share this because I felt like I am a genius for figuring this out. Henry, you are in Australia. Rudy, you are in the Netherlands.
Yes.
When we Google the same thing, don't get the same thing. You know what we mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so a different Google.
Yeah, exactly. So you find different stuff from me, although we Google the same stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all I'm going to... Okay. I thought, right. You know, there's going to be some support in figuring this out.
Well done, Rudy.
Okay. I'm proud of you. That doesn't seem very genuine.
Well, what am I supposed to say? That...
Can you truly fake something for once?
Okay. So... Give me the level of shock that you'd like me to react with, because I was just about to do it, and I think that would have been too much.
7 out of 10.
Oh, really? I never thought about it that way.
That's
pretty interesting. You make a good point, Rudy. Yeah, that does make sense.
You know what? The first part of it was actually believable, I'm not going to lie. pretty good.
Oh, there you go. How
have
you been, Rudy?
Beefs of the weeks?
I actually got a lot, like a lot. I probably won't be able to even remember them all. I'll start off with OneDrive. Shit.
Oh,
I want this shit on my computer, and I get it forced down my throat, and I feel like I don't have a choice. And it's fucking annoying.
I am fully with you on that one, because at some point I had to, our common friend who we play Heroes of the Storm with knows my struggles with OneDrive. That shit is just not okay. And the stupid thing is, you sign out of it, it signs you back in the moment you restart your laptop.
Yeah, it's just like, leave me alone. Like, I have never used the service voluntarily.
Because the thing is, I would understand if OneDrive would be the other way around, in a sense of like, you want to sync something with some other device, you set up what you want to sync. No, nobody does. It automatically assumes you want to sync everything, gives you like, I don't know, like 15 gigs of space or something, like, unless you want to pay for it. And then you have to exclude every single thing you don't want to be synced, which is basically everything for me. And it also takes bandwidth, like Wi-Fi. So when it starts randomly doing it, everything else starts lagging. And then also on my... Because I have now two laptops synced to the same account, basically. One I use for my uni stuff, one I use for my personal stuff. The uni one, every time I launch it up, it just resyncs shit. I have at this point, I think... 8 icons on my desktop that say Discord/Rudy because it just keeps syncing Discord over and over and over again. It's so annoying. Like, Bill Gates, How about you shut the fuck up for once?
Yeah. Get him, Rudy.
Honestly, OneDrive is that's beef of the year for me. I'm sorry. OneDrive, yeah. Go fuck yourself.
No, it's really, I really hate it. I was just trying to save something to my computer, and like three times it just made me go through OneDrive, and it's like, I've never used this. I never want to use this because I have my own external hard drive. Like, if I want to have something like Google Drive, I have Google Drive. Why are you like, you know, leave me alone.
Everything is, and then, just forced.
Second beef of the week. It's been there before, people. It's back again, automatically adjusting brightness. I wish it would die forever.
Yes. I knew that one was going to come back at some point. Can we just say most of our beef of the weeks is literally just about stupid Microsoft and Windows shit?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't really have that much beef with, like, general stuff, if that makes sense. Most of my beef is because a lot of my free time I spend on my computer, so it's going to be minor things on there, you know? Anyway.
And that's how we outed ourselves as incels. Let's go. So today we are in Baku, Azerbaijan. I think that was well
known. All right, Rudy, what do you know about Baku?
It's the capital city of Azerbaijan, right?
Very good.
Yeah.
So far the same as my list.
Exactly. It is... It's a coastal city to an inland sea, if I'm correct, right?
That's the second point on my list as well, the Caspian Sea.
The Caspian Sea, indeed. And to be honest, I don't know much about Azerbaijan because it's one of those countries in the region where I guess, really hear a lot of news about them on my radar. Like, to be completely honest, like, I knew general area where Azerbaijan is. For, like, how do I say this? I knew the line on which it is, right? But I thought for some reason it's the left of Turkey, but it turns out to be on right. It doesn't border Turkey, but it borders Armenia, which is borders Turkey. But
does it not? Now I'm thinking. Actually, I'm not sure, because it has, like, an exclave. And I actually don't know what that exclave borders.
Oh, that's Azerbaijan?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the map now. Oh, yeah, it does border Turkey for like one road.
There you go. That's all you need.
It's split into two. Why?
Let's not get into that, Rudy, because that can get very messy.
I'm pretty sure that's okay.
The shit that wars are fought over to this day.
Oh, it's anyway. One of them's. Okay. Never mind.
Yes. Well, Rudy, here's a fun fact. They made a lot of their money from oil.
Oh, so yep. Okay. Love is in the air. Dun, 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 dun.
They have a lot of modern architecture. A lot of well-known modern architecture as well. I'll mention one specifically later, but I'll leave that for my local business.
Why specifically architecture?
I don't know. Oil money. That's that Dubai type shit.
And they just decided that they wanted to draw circles and squares all the time? That's cool.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I will say I think they have some pretty cool architecture. And then here's a actually very fun fact for you, Rudy. It's actually the lowest lying city in the world, elevation-wise. What do you
mean? Like below... okay.
It's 28 meters below sea level.
Wow. So basically, if it floods, it floods.
Yes, but it's not gonna, because how could it?
Yeah, Caspian Sea, I assume, doesn't have any strong rising sea levels.
No, that one is likely to stay the same or reduce, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there are seas, but not Caspian Sea, but another sea. Which one was that which is drying out?
The Red Sea?
I think so.
That's like between Jordan and Israel? Is that the Red Sea?
I just know that in geography class, they showed us an example of like a decade side-by-side pictures, and the sea is just drying out.
Yeah, I know there is one in Russia or Kazakhstan that's like completely gone. I think a lot of it was something to do with nuclear testing, probably.
Hello, everyone. Editor's note here. So the sea that they're talking about is the Aral Sea, which does indeed lie between Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. And it began shrinking in the 1960s and has dried up into mostly a desert by the 2010s. This, originally called the Sea of Islands, has been drained as a result of Soviet irrigation projects which diverted the rivers that fed it. And by 2007, it had declined to 10% of its original size, splitting into four separate lakes: the North Aral Sea, the eastern and western basins of the far larger South Aral Sea, and the smaller intermediate Barsakalmys Lake. So, yeah, it is mostly gone, but in a Kazakhstani effort to save and replenish the North Aral Sea, the Dike Kokaral Dam was completed in 2005, and since then, the actual water level has been rising. The actual South Aral Sea has mostly disappeared, but the North Aral Sea and I believe the Barsakalmys Lake are still, well, there, I guess. Yeah, so there you go. End of editor's note. Thank you.
Here's a fun one. The Azerbaijan State Fund invests into Italian high-speed rail.
Oh! Talk dirty to me.
Alright, well, the Italian company operates private high-speed rail between several Italian cities. The state fund has acquired a minor stake to diversify its portfolio, is what it reports. But the question is, Rudy, is the ultimate end goal to build high-speed rail between Italy and Azerbaijan so that people can get Italian pizza hand-delivered to their door only a couple days after ordering it?
Wow, I cannot wait for that crusty, hard-cooked, and by this point, completely dry pizza come to my door, straight from Napoli.
Hell yeah.
I mean, there's actually a fun fact I know about Italian trains, or rather the train routes. Yeah. Have you heard of the tester train?
The what now?
So, as you already mentioned, there's the high-speed trains. Italians are proud of them. It's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
Apparently, there is one specific train, I think it's two of the trains are the pushing ones, and then two in the middle are like some other stuff. It basically runs the whole Italian track, like just the whole route, in circles over the year. It just keeps on perpetually moving, and it's okay. Testing the rails. Like it's always just there testing the rails and the integrity, and that's how. And it's like it's equipped with like full on like measuring gear and stuff like that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, right? So
I mean, it does make sense.
You know Snowpiercer by any chance?
Nah.
I think it's a movie, but maybe it was based on a book. The idea is that, don't ask me why, but apocalypse happens, the world goes to shit, and nuclear winter. Basically, everything freezes over, right? And the only way that somehow humanity survives, everything in the world is connected through rails, and there's this one super, super, super long train that just travels the world. And then the whole thing is about the politics of a train, and the whole, like, it's like okay. A country.
That does sound familiar. I feel like I have seen... Was there a movie about this?
The movie was shit. The Netflix show was pretty good.
There's a Netflix show, even.
Honestly, you might enjoy it. Netflix. I do recommend the Netflix show. I never seen the movie, but I've been told that the movie was shit. But the Netflix show.
What's it called?
Is...
Snowpiercer?
Snowpiercer.
All right, I'm interested. I'll give it a crack.
It's fun to see humanity put in enclosed space, and they do pretty well in how do I say this? In showing what would happen if that would be the case.
Yeah, it's showing what would happen if there's a bunch of men packed tightly, sweaty.
Don't give me fantasy so early in the recording. This is only the first of four episodes. Come on, man.
All right, ready? Well, what do you got?
My title of the article is Henry. Sit down for this one.
That's a pretty cool article title.
Yeah. On the 5th of March, an oil refinery in Baku caught on fire.
No. How could this be? How could this be?
However, luckily, forces of the Ministry of Emergency Situations managed to fully control the blaze at an oil refinery in Nizami District.
Let's fucking go. That's what I'm talking about.
My question, though, to you, Henry, is How? How do you extinguish burning oil? Tell me, what would you do? Disclaimer, by the way, I think Google did not understand what kind of oil I'm talking about here, but let's see.
I guess my real answer would be, can you, like, extinguish it with, like, the foam and then just separate it? That would be my real guess. My
so here's
second
what
guess
Google
would be
told me.
To just throw more oil on top of it until it fills the room and it's smothered out.
You know what? I like that one. No, no, no. My what I found is over the flames with a metal lid or cookie sheet. Leave the cover on until it has cooled. Turn off the heat source. That's an important one.
Yeah,
if
that's a good one.
If it's small and manageable, pour baking soda or salt on it to smother the fire. So you were pretty close. And then as a last resort, spray the fire with a Class B dry chemical fire extinguisher.
So I had literally all the answers correct, according to
Google, you forgot
which
the
is definitely
sheet.
Not talking about the same. All right. I'll take a fucking 9 out of 10.
You know what, buddy? You're right. There's firefighting foam, apparently, specifically for oil.
Honestly, I will say that if your oil refinery is on fire, it is a good idea to turn the heat source off.
The earth.
And then...
just earth's core goes cold for like a minute.
Anything to save the oil. that's probably the most tragic news and immediately followed by the most like inspiring news I've heard in the last, I want to say, decade.
I have another small quiz for you, Henry, just to test you.
Oh, yeah?
This one really small. News recently hit Azerbaijan that a 3.1 magnitude earthquake occurred again in the Caspian Sea on Tuesday, 229 kilometers east of the Adliagic station. So, Henry, what do we do in an earthquake?
What do we do in an earthquake? We crawl under a table.
No! You're dead!
What?
Don't you remember?
I do 10
seconds
to
get your passport, turn off your pipes, turn off your heat source, do not jump out of a window, don't take the elevator, be out of the house immediately.
Right. No, I do remember this, but I thought that back then I answered
crawling
under
you
a table and that you
the
said that I was right for that.
The title of this segment was Luckily We Know What To Do, but I guess luckily we don't. Our pipes will burst because Henry completely forgot.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, people, when the earthquake hits and our pipes burst, you can blame me. I think that's fair.
What's your next article?
I've just got one more. It's not as interesting, but it's just there's the countries around the Black Sea, like Georgia, Azerbaijan, Romania, Hungary, and Bulgaria are working together on a new cable through the Black Sea, which will allow the transfer of allegedly green energy from Azerbaijan to the other countries.
Is Azerbaijan known for green energy? Didn't we just talk about oil?
Apparently it is also, in like probably the same way that like
it's just known about
UAE
energy.
Is.
They're just very energetic down there.
I mean, it is a thing that countries which have a lot of oil are investing into green energy so that once they run out, they can transition, you know, without crashing their economy.
Credit where credit's due, that's actually not a bad idea. That's somewhat of a sane take, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. They have a cable. They're looking at it like, can we actually do this? And then they're going to ask the EU to pay for it, so.
Oh, yeah, that seems about right.
Well, the EU is going to
pay for
it.
I love the mental image when you say they have a cable, they're looking at it. I'm just imagining like 30 building-sized USB-C cable. They're like, yep, I think that will be good enough. Each end on the other side of the sea. calls him up. Yo, how's it looking in your end? It's a cable, all right?
You're going to need a big-ass adapter to plug all those cables in, right?
Oh, yeah. You know what? EU will pay for that as well, probably.
I think they'll have to. Otherwise, it's all for naught.
I love how we turned slightly sarcastically political in this episode.
Yeah,
I have another article, which is not political.
All right, go on.
The OG Avatar, I've named it.
Okay.
stumbled upon some very interesting news, or rather actually cultural phenomena, that apparently Azerbaijan celebrates. The 11th of March, to most, was a normal Tuesday. But to people of Azerbaijan, it was Wind Tuesday. The whole day they were passing gas.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Really?
No. Okay, apparently, one of the oldest holidays in Azerbaijan is Novruz, which is announced by four Tuesdays. The third Tuesday is called... Oh, my God. Yelchers Sheshe Beshen and Besi.
Nice, nice.
Which is Wind Tuesday, representing the breath of spring and nature awakening. Many interesting beliefs and customs are linked to the... Okay, I'm gonna actually try. Yel Cherşenbesi, I think. Cherşenbesi.
All right.
On this day, people watch the wind's direction to guess the weather. It is said that if a warm wind blows, spring will arrive early, but if the wind is cold, winter will stick around. But the way they... Okay.
That's kind of shit.
The way the sentence is structured. On this day, people watch the wind's direction to guess where the weather... How do you watch wind? It's invisible.
Wait, you hit it with the good old, you know? I don't know how to explain
it. Describe what you did. Henry licked his finger and showed it to God.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
According to old beliefs, on this evening, the wind can make wishes come true. People to go outside and whisper their wishes to the wind, believing it will take them far away and deliver them to the Almighty. Which explains why my neighbor went outside for 3 days and was screaming to just end the suffering.
I will say that part is whatever, but like saying, oh yeah, if the wind is warm, spring is coming, that's like me going outside and like it's hot and it's like, wow, it's hot outside.
I can tell you like, one better. Like, Latvians have some of these superstitions as well, and some of ours are even stupider. One that I know very popular is the first butterfly of the year that you see is how you, like the color of it will be how your summer will go. But in reality, there's really just two butterfly types that actually wake up by the time you first see them, which is either yellow, which means you're going to be sunny summer. Wow, crazy. And then there's like spotted ones, which means you will have an adventurous summer.
So it's always good, I guess.
It's That's always nice. Good. I know that there was also something where if in autumn solstice, something about the like, what was it? Oh, if ducks slip on ice, that means that there will be snow at Christmas. And if they don't, that means it will be muddy. By the way, autumn solstice is like a very end, I think, of like November or something. So if they slip on ice, well, guess what? Yeah, it's cold. So it's probably going to be snowy around Christmas.
Yeah, good stuff. Just absolute garbage. All right, well, Rudy. Sorry, don't mean to take down your culture or anything.
Oh, please.
I'll take it back. That's actually pretty cool. Yeah. If a duck slips, then we can do flips on skates in Christmas.
I want to see you try.
No, thank you. I will break my neck. I did see a video today of somebody riding a motorcycle on ice for some reason, and then the ice just stopped, like, there was, like, a puddle, so he, like, the motorcycle fell into the water, and then he got, like, hit, like, with his stomach against the ice, you know what I mean?
Ouch!
Yeah. So, I guess his winter will be cold.
Yeah, because he freaking left half of him in the lake, probably. It's split in half, poor guy. Then again, what are you doing trying to drive motorcycle on ice?
Yeah, I don't feel bad for people that make videos like that. You did it to yourself. Anyway. Ready?
Yeah.
The odds? Is it time for an odds break?
You know what? We're getting better and better in these traditions. I'll tell you that much. Guy just looked at me and was like, I think it's time.
Yes, ladies
and gentlemen, it's time for the ad. Me and Henry will do... You know what? I can't be bothered to make up a transition. We're just gonna do whatever. Fuck about. Find out.
Hey. Ooh, exciting. Are you tired of having to wait for days, if not weeks or months, for it to rain so that you can clean yourself properly? Not everybody has easy access to a lake or a sea, and rain can sometimes be frustratingly infrequent. Introducing a new innovative rain machine that can create artificial rain inside of your own house. With only a few fixture changes, you can transform that storage closet that you never use into your very own rain closet. No longer do your Sundays need to be spent doing a rain dance. No longer do you need to pray to God that you can make it into work clean next day. Try our rain machine, also known as Rainer, today. This is a special shout out to people that go to work in the morning and have never seen a shower before.
Is this for somebody specifically in Singapore or?
Well, based on previous news articles, it seems so, but.
No, actually, there's beef of the years. Multiple. Wait. STEM bros. STEM students. Hear this, Rainer, or as other people in the modern world call it, a shower. Use it once in a while. It's there for a reason in your house. God damn it, I still have flashbacks to like course projects that you go in a room with eight other folks and man's never heard of a shower before.
I think it's just tough when that's the morning energy, you know? You're in there at eight and then that's what you're greeted with. It's tough. I don't know if I've told you this story before, Rudy, but I went to a gaming convention in Eindhoven like a few years back.
You did, but go on. Tell us on the podcast.
And I wanted to, there was a specific game I wanted to go to watch, Tekken, for the people that are in the loop, I guess. And tragically, the Tekken room was the only one that just smelled like gamers, let's say. The other ones were all fine.
And so gamers, they do smell, don't they?
Unfortunately, sometimes yes. So that was my experience with that. I haven't been back to a gaming convention since. And I maybe won't ever because of that. So thank you, Tekken gamers.
Public service announcement. Thank you, Tekken gamers. I think it's time, by the way, to do your... You know, the...
All right, everybody, close thine eyes and listen to this. You explore the city, enjoying the mix of historical and modern architecture it has to offer. Later in the day, you head towards the multitude of green parks and shoreline that the city has to offer. Your day has been good, but you just wish there had been more of that oil that they're so famous for over here. What's the point in having so much oil if you're not even lathering the streets with it? Anyway, as you enjoy a lunch by the Caspian Sea, you ponder out loud to yourself, I know that Baku is 28 meters below the sea level, and that the Caspian is actually a lake, but isn't it a bit of a cop-out? They should either call it the Caspian Lake, or raise the water level by 28 meters. Unfortunately, bureaucracy is not fast enough in the renaming of the lake, so the Caspian Sea, upon witnessing this train of thought, spontaneously rises 28 meters, leaving hundreds of thousands of residents drowning in the streets. So if you'd like to be responsible for one of the biggest natural disasters in world history, then maybe Baku can be your next destination.
I tried to follow the thread, but it sounded like a fever dream. Wait, let me do the math there. So, either they name it a lake, I understood. 28 meters below the sea. Why would the lake rise? Wouldn't it then because the Baku be 56 meters below sea level?
No. So the Caspian Sea, upon hearing you, right? Think of it as a semi-sentient being. Says, oh, I should be at sea level if I'm going to be named sea. Bureaucracy ultimately cannot rename the Caspian Sea.
I thought the city is below sea level, not the sea.
Yeah, of course the sea is as well. What do you mean?
Oh!
They're both at minus 28, because that's kind of just how it works.
Well, that explains a lot. Thank you.
All right, well, there you go. Does it make sense now, or do you need the rest of the explanation?
I feel like I'm not mentally here. I wonder why. For this recording, there's definitely no reason. Anyways,
Rudy's been reading too much lately, Pihuan. Reading makes you stupid. I've always said that. All right, Rudy.
That actually got me. Reading makes you stupid. This is literally every Republican in America right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is one, the only segment that you waited for. The one and only segment that matters, I would say. It's all right, time to cool go it. Local in Baku, Azerbaijan. So tell me, Henry, and dear listeners, do you like Instagram filters?
Yes, I guess.
Specifically, not really. The one that gives you that retro vibe on an oversaturated camera from the 90s or 80s?
Yeah.
Lovely. Because in Baku, Azerbaijan, at least according to my best friend and Google's yellow man, that's exactly how the whole world looks like down there. So that's crazy. What about individualism? Freedom of expression in your own comfort zone?
Yes.
Yeah, you need to be more up with this, Henry. Like, I can't do a thing if you don't. Anyways.
Okay.
You all know, right. I think it's a bit overrated to have every house on the block to be its own color and have its own unique design. And it seems that good people of Baku agree. Here you are welcomed in one of the 1,000 not at all unique condors in one of the hundreds of city post-Soviet looking block buildings. So no uniqueness there. Everybody's equal. Oh, and by the way, that retro lens extends not only to the look of things but to cars as well. I believe that if you are still an avid enjoyer of vehicles that are by now outlawed, you would fit right in the city. So, all in all, if this 80s pop rock radio vibe suits you and you have no sense of fashion but are afraid to admit it, Baku is the place to be.
Okay, newbie for the week then, because you're shitting on them for having too many similar looking buildings, but then you go to the Caribbean where it's like rainbows and butterflies, and then you also shit on that. So what's good enough for you, Rudy?
Nothing. It's never nothing. Good enough for me. Remember the quote I'm known for? I'll say it again. Today I feel like saying it. Like, once a year I say it, and I feel like it's a good time to say it now. I love the world for what it could be.
All right. Fair enough. If nothing's good enough, then I think that's fair. yeah, all right. Well, Rudy, onto the local business.
I did mention this. Can I just say this episode feels like we're already straight to the dot, you know, like, yeah, whatever, okay, moving on.
Well, we're running pretty long with it, aren't we? Fuck you. Sorry that I, like, had a small hiccup. Like, all right, buddy. We're getting, like, a big head about it now, are we?
That was so genuine. Holy shit.
Come on.
My guy looked at me and was like, fuck you. That was the first time I genuinely pissed you off on this podcast. My guy, right, from the bottom up, was like, fuck you.
All right. Here
finally,
we go.
Vindication.
Local
vindication.
As I mentioned in the intro, there's some pretty cool architectural sites. So my recommendation is going to the Haydar Aliyev Center. Rudy, have you ever heard of that one?
No.
All right. Well, it's one of the most well-known modern architecture buildings, in my opinion. So look it up. You'll probably recognize it. And then send me a message if you're there to let me know how it was. Because I'll probably never go.
My local business. Yeah. I recommend going to the Five Doors Anti-Cinema, which by the name of it sounds like an escape room, but it's something much cooler. It's actually a cinema, except this one is for the vibes. From the pictures, I saw that each room is basically tailored for different atmosphere, and I think you can basically book it with like a group of friends. The way I would describe it, it's like a karaoke room, but a cinema. So genuinely,
that's exactly what I thought of when you were describing that.
There you go. So I am a big cinema enjoyer, so this would be actually something that I would really want to see at some point, but it looked pretty cool. I've never actually seen that kind of concept. Like, I've seen karaoke spaces, I've seen even, like, you know those, like, where the whole floor is, like, things where you can and can, like, floor is lava type of deal, but there's, like, different patterns, and you play the games with your friends, that kind of stuff, escape rooms, but this is the first time I saw something like that for cinema. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've actually been to a themed cinema like this before, but it's because I wanted to do karaoke, so it wasn't that great of an experience because the people, I was just like screaming throughout the movie, basically, and the people weren't appreciative of it, so Yeah, I guess the lesson was...
Can I just say for the first half of that sentence, I actually believed you. I was like, what's going to come out of this story?
All right, Rudy. And for the local radio, I have... Actually, a lot of them sounded very similar to me, which I thought was interesting. So I've got two recommendations. One is if you want to listen to all music that Azerbaijan listens to, I guess, Yurd FM will do you fine. If you want to listen to something where they play funky bongo music, listen to 100.0 FM Asan Radio. Mm. So, two choices.
Well, my trend is everything anti, I guess. So my local radio is, for extra chill vibes, give some love to Anti-Radio, where all bad mojo is filtered out via some pop and house tunes. By the way, I went to that radio. They say it's pop and house tunes. The first one, sure, chill vibes. The second one started. It's like, you know those like Christian rock type of thing? It starts slowly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's sort of like the music just goes very melodic. And then at some point, suddenly just like, and it's just this for 5 minutes. And I was like, God damn.
Well, there you go. All right, people.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, indeed.
This was...
you want to do it?
Yeah, I was in the middle of it.
Sorry, it's just I usually do it, but go on.
All right. This has been Globally Local FM. In Baku, Azerbaijan, my name is Henry. Like, the second guy's name is Rudy. This was brought to you by Tome of Huzzah.
Please.
You can find Rudy on Instagram, I think, still.
Yes.
At Rudy.
Come on, continue. At?
000RUDIS000.
Very good.
Slide into his DMs and call him a hunk.
I guess. You can try, but even I will be there like, okay, delusional.
You can find Henry, Rudy.
It seems to be in the red room of some kind. Like right now, I don't know what your atmospheric light is doing there, but all I need right now behind that is bow chicka bow bow chicka bow.
Alright. Yeah, that's it, people. Rudy, where are we next week?
I think you forgot somebody.
Drum roll, please.
You can find our colleague Colossal Pengu on twitch.tv.
Is this the guy that never promos us?
Yeah, that's the same guy.
I genuinely don't know.
I think he promos us. I don't remember anymore.
All right, Colossal Pengu, if you're listening to this, you're on thin ice, buddy.
And if we dare you to motor skate on that ice.
Yeah, we want you to get cut in half, I guess. Yeah, that's it, right?
Yes.
So next week we are Rudy in. I did the drum roll on my end. You have to say it.
Oh, I don't remember.
Equatorial Turkey.
Oh, that's right. We played Equatorial Turkey. Down the hole we go. Make some slurping noises, Sid, there.
Here's some for you to sample, Sid.
Nothing is coming through. Here's better ones.